let's talk about
design.
Yeah, let's talk about fun stuff. So again, appreciate you taking some time to talk to us. So kind of introduce ourselves. We've met briefly on email. I'm Tony Latto. I'm design director for Latitude Notebooks at Dell Technologies. And Aaron and Daniel are two very good friends of mine. And Daniel runs a design firm. I'll let him kind of tell you a little bit about what he does and with Aaron.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like as Tony said, we have a small design consulting business located here in the Austin area. And we've been around officially since about 2005, so I guess about 15 years. And run the gamut in terms of the types of products we work on. Obviously, we've done helped Dell a bit over the years, but also done a lot of different things with, household appliances, kitchen gadgets, tools, you name it. We probably at least tried it. But we're pretty small and nimble. So,
I think I know your company.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
Hey, Alex. This is Aaron, and I work for Access Design. I work with Daniel. I've been working there for about 2 years. I graduated about almost 3 years ago, and I definitely did use your website when I was in school. So it's pretty interesting to be talking to you here now. It's pretty cool, honestly.
No, good. Thank you.
Yeah, we're all fans. I think what I've always been interested with what you've been doing related in the design world is that you're kind of approaching it less from typically all the design firms and people are doing like, hey, you know, here's design strategy, design thinking, you know, all these design processes and sort of like a, I guess, more of a theoretical perspective of design. And you're kind of really viewing it from, trends, and looking at it more from like a designer's perspective. I mean, if you walk through the studios at Dell, every designer has your website up on their screen. Mm-hmm. Everyone, it's like everybody knows who you are. Everybody knows what your website is. And when it comes to like looking at trends and getting inspiration and ideas, you know, what are surface design and patterns and textures and color and whatever material. I mean, your website is up and people are they access it and they use it constantly. And I think that's really cool. And then you have your sort of instructional kind of like, I would call it, you know, one category of how to be a designer, which I like the drawing aspect of it. Of course, I don't draw as well as you, but I've looked at your videos and my daughter, who's a design student now, a freshman, I've said, hey, go look at this guy's thing. Go look at his videos. I bought your book for her. So I'll be giving that to her when I get a chance to see her. From when I look at it, I see that as like really, it's really great because it's offers a different, it just offers a whole different avenue into design than what typically is out there. And so I guess my question to you is it sounds like you sort of stumbled onto this, and I'm curious as to how that happened.
So yes, I understand what you mean, that it's very focused on the trends and the forms, materials, and all the details. But I think it's when I work as a designer, I have the same approach as you. So I follow also a lot of research, understanding of the user, analysis of how people do, understanding the brand, the challenges of the project. So that's really the method which I use when I design, same as you. I think that's the correct process to follow to design. But I think that since this is just a wall of images, it's a bit difficult to transmit all these, like the design process and all the things which are a bit more, a bit more in depth compared to just the appearance of the product. So I think just by doing it over and over, then it's just the essence of what I think is how the website is, just led to just showing this side of the process or this side of the product. But I think that's also why I want to do all the education in it, because I think that both goes hand in hand. And so for now, you see a lot of sketching, but I want to do a lot of like teaching about design process, teaching about the materials, showing who are the good material suppliers, like all the things that are part of the daily life of a designer. And not just like the 5% of the process, which is sketching or the inspiration part, but make it like a sort of a bit more complete approach to design.
Yeah, cool. That's really great. Yeah, it's almost like another, you know, designers have a lot of tools to, and to me, it's just another tool, another element to kind of go and refer to and have access to. And I think it really scales greatly. Like Aaron said, when he was in design school, you know, I've been in the business over 20 years and I find it perfectly useful and relevant. So that's really great. And, you know, I appreciate it. I would, in the past, it was always kind of hard to find those types of things. You really had to dig. So I think it's a great service.
Yeah, cool. Well, I appreciate that that you like it. But for me, this I think that the quality of the curation is just because I've been doing it for so long that I sort of trained my eye to spot all these things. And if you look at the archives, so the very first images of the blog, they are not so precise and so. But we're not so as relevant as they are now. And all this is just because I learned from all this. And I think that one of the things that somehow this has helped me a lot after when I designed, because all these researches and images sort of synced in my brain. And so when I design things now, when I work on projects, then it's like it's like my language somehow. It's like I design all these things easily because I can work on any detail and be very creative in all these details because I have all these images in my mind and all these forms which I've been like curating over and over and over and over. So somehow doing it has helped me to improve the website and also improve my my own ability to design.
I get that. I can certainly see how that helps. It's sort of, it's like when a teacher teaches a subject, they get better as a student, if you know what I mean. So I get that.
Well, that's the same with many things in life. You know, as you travel and expose yourself to new people and places, you just learn more and typically become a more well-rounded person. So I could certainly see how that applies to specifically to design and exposing yourself to, you know, all the different things over the years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And especially that this, you see, when I started to do courses, so then you explain to people who don't really know how to do, and you explain things that you just do it naturally because you've been practicing over and over, and then you learn intuitively. So it doesn't mean that you know how to teach it. So when I had to start teaching it, then it forces you to break down everything and try to understand how things work and why you do things. And when you talk to them and get their feedback, then you realize that this is why it's working like this. And then you explain better and you explain better. So little by little, you understand more of all the things that you learned to do naturally with all the years of experience. Then you sort of understand better how things work, and it's very interesting. In fact, to teach, it's very interesting.
Yeah, very cool. So, tell us a little bit of the history of. So you obviously you're French. You're now living in England. Tell us a little bit about why you started, and then kind of what happened once you started.
I started. I think 7 years ago. And when I started, when we started, because we were two in the beginning, there was no Pinterest. So there was no real, it was just the beginning of Pinterest. So there was no way to have our own boards of images, which is good because maybe Le Manouche would not exist if Pinterest had arrived a few months earlier. So I created this blog with a friend, and there was no objective to make it famous. We just wanted to have a Tumblr where he could put all his inspiration images and I could put all my inspiration images. And so we could have a common place to look at our own updates and images. So it was just meant for him and me to share the stuff that we liked. And I think 6 months or a few months after, we put Google Analytics and we realized that there was a lot of people on the website following. And so we thought, that's actually, we never thought that it could be a blog, but maybe we could just keep pushing and instead of making it just for us, we make it for more people. So this is what we did. I think my friend gave up after a few months because he didn't enjoy it, I think. But for me, I thought there was I saw it as a sort of side project of what I was doing besides working on my projects in the design in my companies. So, and I kept working on it over and over and over. And I think that the being consistent in all the updates, you know, and make it like daily, like every day. Over the years, I think that's why it spread so it went so big in our industry. But yeah, originally there was no point to make it a famous blog. It was just just like between two. I think that that's why also the name of this blog reflects that there was no point to make it famous because Le Manouche means the gypsy in French. So it's not the correct orthograph, but Manouche means gypsy. And it's basically the word that you would use to describe someone who is unreliable somehow. So, and this was because my friend said, okay, how do we call this thing? And we said, okay, just put Le Manouche, we don't care. But and now this is the name of this blog. So when I call people in France, because I have some clients in France, when I call them and I say, oh, this is Alex from Le Manouche, they understand what Le Manouche means. And there's already
sort of
silence because we were like, who calls this company Le Manouche?
That's funny.
Yeah. So now you know the story.
That's great.
Yeah.
And so you started in France. When did you make the move to England?
I started, I worked in Asia for 4 years. I worked in Taiwan. Then I went to Spain to work for a company called Mormedi in Madrid. I stayed there for 3 or 4 years. And then I moved to England 6 years ago. So the blog started in Spain and now I'm living here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, Alex, so what is typically the process for you to get this imagery, like do people usually submit? Do you contact companies when you see a cool project? Or what is typically the process that you take when looking for new images or new projects?
Process is very simple. It's just like I scroll through all my feeds of blogs, all my Pinterest, all my Behance. And I just select things. Many people send their photos. So the things I love or the things I like, I put them on the blog. But most of the time, it's just me going through a lot of images every day and updating. So it takes like 1 hour per day.
Awesome.
I see. So is it mostly you that runs the blog, or is it? Or the website is, or do you have a team that is running it?
So it's mostly me who, it's only me who curates all the images, But now I have a developer. I have people who take care of the social network. And the thing is, on the side of Lemanouche, so Lemanouche is one side, but also some people along the years have asked me to start working on projects. And so there's all these consulting aspect of Lemanouche, which has been created since that time. So now I work with like the few of the people that I enjoy working with, because the blog brings the finance to live from. So I have the chance to just take the projects I want to work on. Usually I take 4 or 5 projects per year. And so I work for aviation. I did a lot of electronics. I did a lot of, now we're working on switches, you know, on off, turn the light. So a lot of different things. So in the beginning, people came and asked if I could help them to work on some projects. And now I think that the chance to have this website is that it opens a little bit of doors. And so, for example, I wanted to work in aviation because that's a field where I did a lot of aviation in my career before. And I always thought that there was more to do in this field. So I contacted these guys who I used to work for, and now I work with them. And so, yeah, having this website allows me to be in touch with people more easily and to work on things that, you know, that I like.
That's really great. Yeah, I'm just scrolling through it right now, looking at everything. Yeah, it's...
You should post your job, Antonio.
Excuse me?
You should post jobs.
You know, we have a recruiter that does that. I'll have to see if they would want to post up there when we do have jobs.
So Alex, maybe you can tell us, so it sounds like you've moved around and worked at a few different companies.
Yeah.
And obviously you do the website currently. Maybe you can just give us a little bit more of a personal brief overview of yourself. So, you know, where did you grow up? Where did you go to school? Those kinds of things.
Okay, so I'm from the very north of France, so a city called Lille. I studied in a school, design school called ISD, so north of France also. It's a very good school in France. It's very focused on actual product design, so the things that we do every day. So it's not, because there's a lot of schools which are a bit more artistic. So this one is very focused on designing products which are industrialized and for brands and the things that we do, the things that you see on the website. When I was there, I had 2 big internships. So one was in the US. So that was the beginning of my career around the world, because I moved to New York for 6 months. And I enjoyed living abroad. I enjoyed the experience of being outside your country, because that makes every day a sort of adventure. So I did my internship in New York, came back to France, had my diploma, and then I thought, okay, so what do I do? So I sent a lot of emails everywhere to get a job. USA started to be a bit difficult to access because of the visa. And I had one email from someone in Asia, so in Thailand, who told me, okay, if you want, you can come to work. So I went to work in Thailand I stayed 1 year in Thailand. And then a friend of mine called me to go to Taiwan. So I moved to Taiwan for 3 years. Taiwan, I worked on a lot of electronics. So smartphones, laptops, computers, all these things. For me, that was first, living in Asia was amazing for me because, as I say, everything is an experience. But even more if you go in Asia, because it's so different from Europe that it makes everything fun. And also, as a designer, that was also very good because all the production was there. So all the knowledge of manufacturing was accessible. So whatever I was doing, I had to do it for the so it could be made with CNC and being mocked up.
Mm-hmm.
Or it has to be. All the engineers was there, and it's very different than when you work in the consultancy in Europe, because all this side you don't really see it. And for me, that was a real chance to learn about production, which is something I think is a bit missing in many of the European designers. Because the manufacturers are not here anymore, so we miss all these things. So this was a big chance. And then after 3 years in Taiwan, I moved to Spain. I wanted to be more close to the world that I know. Spain was close to France, so that was perfect. So I moved to Spain. I worked for Mormedi, Spanish design consultancy. So I did a bit of electronics there and started to work with aviation. So all the big airlines. So doing business class seats, premium economy, economy class, all these things, which is very difficult. So it's very difficult. It's full of challenges. But at the same time, it's quite when you have the experience, then there are things to do. There's still a lot of things that you can improve in this field. I stayed there, and then I moved here in London to work for a company called JPA, and I stayed there I think 1 year and a half or something, just before the blog became so big that it required too much of my time. So one of the last steps was that I started to do freelance, because it was just I needed more time to handle the blog and the design. So freelance was the perfect option.
Sure.
Freelance and developing the blog. So at that time I created the shop, I created the job board. This freelance basically gave me the time to say, okay, this is, I have this audience now. So what can I do to live from that and to build this project? So it becomes my company.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's fantastic. You've been able to take, as you mentioned, what started off as just you and a friend, a place to put some interesting photos and images, to basically a self-sustaining business that allows you to do what you want to do. That's fantastic.
Yes, yeah, it's amazing. It's a lot of work also, because people don't see it, because it's just images on the blog, but it's been a lot of challenges, a lot of trials and failures. In order to make it happen the way it is today.
Right.
And I think there will be a lot of work to do before it keeps growing and growing. It's an ongoing effort, but at the end of the day, the results that you get from it is, I don't know, look, now I'm talking to you guys from Dell, and so I think that all these things are, the results of developing this thing is incredible. It's incredible, yeah. I work for people that I never thought would contact me before. I can be in touch with many, many people in the industry. So, yeah, I recommend to anyone who develop something that they like and to make it because it helps a lot in their career and life.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I got a question for you. So, what do you do outside of design? What sort of hobbies do you have?
I play football. I love football. Soccer, not the American
okay,
football.
Okay, just checking.
I'm a huge fan of soccer. Outside of design, I just do my own stuff. In fact, I never really talk about design. Design is something I love to do, but I never talk about it. My friends are in very different fields. Some are in finance. Some are in. Some have like businesses. I still have a lot of friends from the design world, of course, because that's still my world. but I don't talk too much about design. I just go out with my friends. I just try to enjoy life as much as I can, because in fact I work a lot on this company. So all the time I have, all the rest of the time I spend it with my wife, with my friends, and try to do things which are enjoyable and relaxed. Sport is one of them.
Nice, good.
Yeah, it's important to be a well-rounded person and not just a good designer, because it helps everything.
Yeah, I think it makes you a better, much better designer when you're kind of getting outside, moving around, and involving yourself with, you know, to your point, other people that aren't just designers, because then you wind up in sort of an echo chamber, you know, and it's good. Yeah, I get that. No, it's always, I'm always curious as to what other people are doing for their hobbies. Mm. Well, what's next for Lemonouche? What are you, do you have any plans that you can share?
There's a lot of things on the, there's a lot of things. Yeah. I don't know if I could share. I
can't remember. Okay.
But yeah, there's a lot of things. There's a new book section. So I want that it becomes a sort of companion of the design of anyone who's in the design field. So from the beginning of your career to the end, I want this thing to be useful and that you can always refer to it as to help you in your career. So when you start at school, then you have all the tutorials and the courses, so you can learn and become better. Once you have your skills ready, then you can be inspired and work on your projects and be better at that. Once this is done, then you can find a job that you like, a job that where good companies who are doing good products. And when this is done, you would learn because you have all the books available. What else? The directory. I don't know if you've seen the directory. So we just opened the directory. So this is a listing of all the studios, freelancers, in-house teams. And this also is a way to allow any designer to know about what are the good places to work for. So that's also one of the things that to help basically all the, to help the designers basically. So I think that having all the things that that I value in design, like learning, connecting, being inspired, all these things. So I want that this platform really becomes the friend of your designer, so you can really, it will help you all along your career. But then there's a few other things, but that would be for the next podcast.
Cool. Well, what would it take for a designer or design consultancy or in-house design to get onto your directory? What do you require?
That you email me.
Oh, that's it?
Simple okay. enough, huh?
It will be automated. So, but for now it's just by email. So, yeah.
Okay.
You email or you register. You click on post a job, employer account. You can create an account, and then from there you can start creating your profile.
Cool. Yeah, we'll have to do that. I'll have to get our team to do that. Yeah. Yep. Dell Design. We have a lot of interesting videos and things, and we're always trying to, we want to attract good talent, and being in the right spots. I think such as yours, Lemonouche website would be one of those locations.
Yeah, I would love it.
Great.
You would be welcome.
Well, Aaron, Daniel, you guys have any other questions? Any other things you want to ask Alex?
Well, I'll just tell Alex that I appreciate that there's someone, you know, out there working on a website like this. It really did help me throughout school, and a few of my friends as well. And I'm excited to see how Lemonouche keeps evolving and how it might keep serving us at different points of our career.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you will see a lot of things. A lot of things will happen. Yeah. That's the beauty of having a website. It's not as complex as putting a laptop on the market. When something goes wrong, you can change it. You can try things easily, and then if it doesn't work, you change. So that you have all the flexibility of testing and improving, which is more difficult in product design. So yes, you will see a lot of things. Yeah.
Fantastic. Awesome. Yeah. You have any questions for us?
What are the plans for the podcast?
Well, you know, we're just trying to put together things when we can, because we're all full-time employees, super busy. Dan's trying to run a business and keep the lights on. And I've got 7 employees and, you know, lots of products to worry about and fuss over. And so for us, I think it's, you know, we just try to have these conversations with people that we know and with ourselves. You know, some of our podcasts are just the 3 of us talking about certain things that are kind of interesting to us. Mm-hmm. And really the point of this podcast, I mean, for me, it was just an opportunity to just talk about design from a different perspective, just as, you know, designers talking about design and, you know, how do you do design? What's it take to be a leader in design? What does it take to be a designer in design? Because I think a lot of times, you know, when you're in school, they talk about design process, but they don't really talk about what you should be saying or doing when you're interacting with other disciplines, or about business, or about just general, for lack of a better word, you know, behavior as a human, as a designer working in, say, a big corporation, or as a consultant working for other companies. So we're just going to interview whoever wants to talk to us, really, and just ask questions, find out more.
Yeah, and it was Tony's idea to start doing this, and maybe Alex, just like you, and you had a friend that started just a place to put images. And it turned into something completely different and much bigger. Who knows? Maybe. So we just started doing the podcast last year. Maybe it'll turn into something bigger. Who knows?
Yeah. It'll be cool.
The gypsy.
Yeah, the gypsy.
It'll be cool. You know, my oldest daughter, she's 19, and she's a freshman in design school at University of Houston. And this gives me credibility, I think, with her. She's going to hate this. Because I know that she knows your website and all of her classmates, but you know, when I want to talk to her about design and school and say, hey, how's it going? You know, show me your work.
You don't know anything, Dad.
Yeah, she'll show me, but it's reluctant because, you know, it's just, you know, I'm her dad, right? And she told me last week, she goes, well, I don't want to get any advice from you because, you know, it'll be different than the professor, and then I could fail. And I'm like, it's not going to happen.
Dads don't know anything for a while.
You know, so this is one avenue, I think, you know, on how to kind of communicate to her. I'll probably have to edit some of this stuff out, because then she'll know my scheme.
Your strategy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ways of communication with your kids without really communicating with them.
Yep.
But it's fun stuff.
About the podcast, I think it's good to have people who have experience in the field who teach about or who teach or talk about all these things. Yeah, you see a lot of people on Instagram with a big popularity, but I think that those who have a bit more experience now in design are not so well connected with all these things like Instagram.
Yeah.
And so their messages don't get across as easy as people who are on Instagram all the day. So I think that learning from people with experience is so important. And I wish that there was this sort of things when I started design.
Oh yeah, for sure.
We talk about the communication between the different departments of a company. I think this is something that I see super useful for designers. Like, I often see that designers think that they are the key member of the project, and they are like, if the product should be the way they want, when in fact everyone in the company has their saying on the product, not only the designers. Yeah. So of course the designers has the responsibility of one aspect of the product and to keep it as a, to make it work and to keep it well done and all these things. But the marketing is as important in the on the making of this product. The, everyone has is, I don't know, everyone is important in the company.
Yeah, that's great. You know, we've talked about that before. I think John Maeda had a really good article about, you know, the designer's not the hero. They're just another part of the process. And our senior VP has said repeatedly, he's like, I don't care where the idea comes from. We just need good ideas. You know, we just need good ideas, good thought, good processes. And anybody can be creative. You don't have to be able to draw to be a creative person. I work with plenty of creative engineers who couldn't draw to save their lives, but they're unbelievable thinkers and they come up with great problems. And when you put two good heads or three good heads together and you're trying to solve a problem, you really can come up with some really good things. And it's in these systems that we're making, they're so complicated. You know, the days of old when you're just kind of making one shape that can only do one thing, right? You know, from the 70s and the 80s, it's like a beautiful thing. And that's cool, you know, form for the sake of form, furniture or whatever. But when you're making complex systems, it takes a lot of people, because I don't know how everything works, but I know people who know how these things work. And so if they understand my intent and I get their intent, then we can actually put something together that has, you know, a lot more meaning behind it and a little bit more substance.
Yeah. It makes your life easier also.
Yeah.
If you're the designer thinking you're the hero and then you keep fighting to make your stuff happen, it's complex. It makes your life more complicated. When you listen to the engineers, when you listen to the marketing and try to see their input as a, something to integrate and to work on and to use as a complementary of your own thoughts, then that's when you become, that's when your life becomes easier and your product probably better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Yeah, cool.
Super awesome. Really appreciate it. I hope we can talk again. I definitely will keep in touch.
Yeah.
And we will go and send the email to get on your get in your directory. I think that's a great service that you offer. So we'll take advantage of that.
Yeah, you'll be very welcome there. Yeah, it was good to talk to you. If you do other podcasts about topics on the design, not about Le Manouche, but other topics, I'd be happy to join one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have something you want to talk about or whatever, feel free to use us and we'll put stuff together and you want to invite whoever. I mean, we've got Zoom. We can put as many people as we want in the conversation. I'd love to talk to more people. It's always more interesting to hear from others other than the same group of individuals that I'm always hearing from.
Thank you. It was nice talking to you.